Okay, so questions, comments, opinions. I know I'm pretty opinionated about this particular diet. And maybe part of it is my negative inference from Sally Fallon from when I've heard her speak. But yeah, I think that they've definitely got some good stuff going here, and you can learn a lot from it by, you know, the fermenting of foods, the lactofermentation, and if you're going to have people do grains, that they do the traditional process. I think all that's founded well. I think that their track record in terms of a lot of their folks that are high ups in their thing died young of heart disease. Sally Fallon does not, to me, look like the picture of health. She is actually either the same age or a little bit younger than I am. And this diet is one of my least favorites of all the diets. And maybe it's just a prejudice, so I don't want to put that on you guys, but I'd love to hear your opinions and your comments about it. Eva says, I like sprouts, but there's just so much you can eat. You just can't eat a lot of them. Some people do juice alfalfa sprouts. So maybe it's not a good idea to juice anything like that. I mean, I got in trouble juicing buckwheat sprouts. There's a particular chemical in there that will cause a photosensitivity and a numbness, tingling feeling in your fingers and toes when exposed to cold and light. And I had a really bad reaction because I was juicing them. So in moderation. Yeah. Anybody have questions or comments? No? Raise your hand, star 2, if you have questions or comments. Has anybody had any experience with this diet that can shed some light on it? No? Lynn.
Okay, so I first heard about it in terms of with the sprouting and with, you know, soaking your grains and that part of it. I have never done very well with lots of fats, so I just kind of avoided all of that and focused on what you talked about earlier with traditional things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they do emphasize a lot on the fat. And it's interesting because yesterday when we were talking to Dr. Walls, was that yesterday? I don't remember anymore. Anyway, you know, she said that's where the toxins are in the fat.
Yep.
And so, you know, that was, it's just interesting. You know, some people do really well, especially in terms of the fermentation and all of that. And that's why I really like the idea that, you know, okay, we know about these things. And so if people come to us and they're on this diet, you know, how are they doing with it?
Right. And how to pick the good stuff and leave behind the not so good stuff. Like all these diets have had good stuff. I mean, I had negative things to say about some of the vegan diets and many of the diets, because when you live these diets to the dogmatic perspective without personalizing for an individual, that's when you get in trouble.
Right. Exactly. And that's where, you know, when people say, well, I follow this diet, they get caught in those details and they look for the source of themselves outside of themselves and not within. And so that's why whenever somebody says, this is what I follow, that's when my red flags go up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I like the concept of the you diet, right? What is that diet for you? One come from column A, one from column B, one from column C, one from column D. You know, yes, I like the fermentation. If you are going to do grains, follow the way they do it in Weston Price, right? Leave out the milk.
Right. Yeah, and that's what first got me into reading Nourishing Traditions by Sally Fallon in the first place.
Yep.
You know, there were great things that came out of this. It got people thinking about things. But again, for someone to follow something to that minutiae just because it falls under their auspices, anything that creates it so that people don't learn to think for themselves, you know, that's when I draw a line.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting.
So that's
too,
my
two cents. I look at this. I haven't read his book compared to The Nourishing Traditions. So it would be very interesting to do a book study if anybody wants to take that on as a project and write that as one of your, as your assignment for this module. Mm-hmm. I would love to see a comparison to the modern interpretation compared to his study, compared to his studies and what he wrote. It's very, to me, any diet that emphasizes a processed food is not a good diet. And this diet says no processed food, but they do. They process the fat away from the meat and they just eat the fat. They add extra fat. So anything that does that to me says, well, why do we do that? It's not a whole food. So eating the tallow and the lard and all this stuff, you're eating the fat of the animal without the rest of it, and you're adding that to everything else you're eating. So to me, that's processed food. Oil is processed food, by the way. So for those of us who think we eat a whole food diet, if you eat oil, you're not eating 100% whole food diet, because oil is a processed food, right? Protein powder is a processed food. They're extracts from the food. Now, we use them therapeutically, and we use them culinarily, but to argue that those foods that are part of a food, part of a whole food, are actually the miracles and the special things, to me, I have a hard time with it. Just personally. Yeah. I'm opinionated. What can
no,
I tell
that's,
you?
I would never have known that.
But I guess I got turned off to this diet when I first heard Sally Fallon speak, and I just wanted to slap
right, that would bother me too. Any diet plan or leader of a diet that negates a group of people would turn me off too.
Yeah.
So I can understand that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Who else? Anybody else have comments or experience with this or? You know, I definitely see the definite benefits. If you're going to do grains and beans, this is the way to do it, for sure, 100%. They've got it nailed here. Eat fermented foods. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Oh, you want to raise your – you are – star two is where you do it. I'll open your line up, Eva. Hi,
okay.
Eva.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, I can.
Okay, great. I remember when I was doing the Getz diet, I was comparing the Getz diet to Sally Fallon's diet. And it's somewhat similar, except the Getz, you don't have a lot of fiber. So you don't do any fermented grains until towards the end. But it is very similar when it comes to the amount of fat that you have to consume and the liver and, you know, just a lot of, basically the whole animal is included in your diet. So you have to eat organ meats, which is hard to do for a lot of people. But, one thing I remember that the legumes, when you cooked after you soaked them, then they were encouraged to be cooked with some kind of a kombu or any kind of a seaweed that had a lot of minerals.
Mm-hmm.
To offset the gas and other issues with digestive issues.
Right.
But what I didn't like when I was at IIN, we had a lecture from Sally Fallon, and they were very, very strong against any kind of a soy product. It was almost like it was poison.
Mm-hmm.
Fermented or not, it really was not encouraged to consume any kind of a soy product. They were really big on not including any soy for infants. That was the big thing. And they had so many studies showing on boys having issues with development and boy infants. So
I would agree with that. I mean, I would agree with that because it's soy, you know, soy formula, again, it's where you're taking a food that in moderation, like taking soy that's tempeh or fermented soy, natto, and having it with a big vegetable meal. Right. And part of that is a very good use of soy. So it's not condemning it, as long as it's organic and it's fermented. But then when they take it and isolate the protein out and make it into an infant formula and add corn syrup to it, like, seriously, that's hurting our babies. And I saw, you know, this is a true story. My son, we didn't do soy formula. We made our own, for him. He was adopted, so he wasn't nursed, but, he was nursed, but he wasn't breastfed, let's just say. But he, when we'd travel, he would just get into soy, you know, like, oh, soy milk, and we'd buy these little containers of soy milk occasionally, but, then he really liked them and he just started drinking a lot of them. And I stopped it. You know, I said, you know, you can't have this. You know, I can't have too much. You're going to grow boobies, you know, because he at that point knew. I said, you're going to grow boobies if you do this. You're going to get like a girl. No. And so we stopped it completely. And when he got really obsessed with it, he turned 13 and he had gynecomastia.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yep. And he was like, mom, you were right. Like, see, cause I told you, like he was eating too much of it. So he actually grew and it lasted. And it's actually very common in boys, but I think it might be common because of the diet. When we started researching it, it says like 40% of teenage boys actually develop gynecomastia.
Wow.
Those that don't know what gynecomastia is, breast development in boys. And it wasn't huge, but you could see the big, you know, he was embarrassed.
Yeah, I actually have a client that just went through the surgery two months ago. And I remember started when he wanted to be vegan and he ate so much edamame. And I just said, you can't do that. I said, I know you have to have a limited amount of fermented, maybe, soybeans if you would like to have it. But the amount, and he was working for Costco at that time and he was trying to shop on a budget. So he would buy huge bags of edamame and he just ate edamame all day long. And I just could not believe that. And he said that he had no testosterone. And that young man is 27. So he just went through the whole entire reconstructed surgery.
Oh, my.
Yeah. It was just, he just was embarrassed and, you know, wanted to go to a beach with his friends for a bachelor party and didn't want to go through the embarrassment. And he already lost a lot of weight, but still he still had the problem. So it was. He cut back already. I'm assuming he should have been already finished with eating the soy in his situation.
Yeah.
So that's just my, I think when, you know, I'm not a vegan and I'm not a vegetarian and those diets scare me for the amount of meat than they recommend. So when I work with folks and they are wanting to do this particular protocol, I tell them that maybe one third of their plate should be an animal protein of high quality and the rest should be vegetables.
Vegetables, yep.
Because otherwise you have so much fat and so much animal protein and you're right. It is very acid forming.
Very acid forming. Bone depleting, acid forming. All that dairy, you think you're getting all that calcium, but seriously, I mean, it's so acidic, it starts to drain the calcium from the blood. And yeah, the amount might make up for it, but acidity is not just about bones. It's about, you know, providing a place for cancer to grow.
Right.
And
I do have another thing that I wanted to comment on because I have had few mothers with infants where the babies were not thriving on formulas and they couldn't be breastfed and they have had issues. The way that Sally Fallon's protocol is for infants. It's, in my opinion, very good for the amount of fat and the quality of fat that those infants are getting because it's the closest, basically, to the mother's milk.
Yeah.
And they're not incurring a lot of grain, which if you don't have anything to give them, a lot of women just do the rice.
Yeah, they start that at 4 months, which is totally absurd for the what their diet is geared towards,
right.
What their bodies are geared towards.
Right. So a lot of fat, you know, encouraging coconut oil, and if you can tolerate later on, they do a lot of egg yolk, which is only egg yolk, and you have to be very careful so you don't mix the egg whites in because the egg whites usually have the more allergenic.
Yep.
So they're just trying to do the, you know, high fat diet for the infants. But I think once you develop, you have to cut back, you know.
Yeah.
encouraging more vegetables.
Yeah, and you have to look at the composition. What does nature provide for infants, and how do you get as close as possible? And breast milk is high fat.
Right.
It's also high sugar, but it's,
right.
you know, it's pure milk sugar. It's not, you know, but yeah, it's still, and you have to get as close as possible. But as adults, I just think that, you know, paleo comes much closer to a diet, you know, the way paleo is supposed to be done. A lot of people overboard, and really what they're doing is paleo a la Weston Price with the huge amounts of fat. But I think that the paleo is a much more sound starting point for someone who is not vegetarian and is eating meat. It's a very sound starting point.
Yeah, it ends up being Atkins diet, in my opinion. A lot of the people, when they don't want to take the time to do correct whatever protocol they're going to do, they just all fall into the Atkins. A lot of fat and a lot of animal products.
A lot of processed fat, too, and it's not just quality fat. I mean, on Atkins, the problem with that is, they, you know, ham and bacon and bologna and all this kind of stuff. It's just, it's not, there's no distinguishing. At least both the paleo and Weston Price is distinguishing quality and organic and, you know, traditionally raised, fermented, all that.
Right.
So there are definitely some positives. But I think, you know, it's really a matter of helping each individual, whatever stage of development they're in, to find that right balance of food for them.
Yep. Thank you. Thank
You're welcome. Thank you. All right. So Annette, raw dairy had the enzymes. Yeah. So there is a difference between raw dairy and processed dairy because it has the enzymes in it to break it down. Yeah, so goat dairy is much, much less, much more tolerated. So in my opinion, if you're going to do dairy, choose goat or sheep, and then do it raw and do it fermented and organic, of course. And that's a way that you're going to get, and unless somebody has a really serious, you know, casein of all species allergy, they're going to respond to it. And Annette says that she likes raw dairy, get congested if it's not raw. You know, and there's a lot of changes structurally that go on when you heat proteins. They coagulate, they change structure. It makes a real big difference. Goat's milk has specific uses in treatment of emaciation, malnutrition, anemia, stomach acid. Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, if you've got a baby that can't have access to any, you know, mama milk, I think goat's milk enhanced to resemble more closely the human profile. You know, you can do that with vitamins and minerals and, you know, other fats and things. I think that's going to be a better choice than commercial formula. Oh, yeah. And Annette said there's a goat farm in Austin where you can go in and buy it. Yeah. So, you know, so I think that whenever we create a diet that focuses on, you know, one of the things being like so superior, like dairy being superior to everything else. And I think people get in trouble, and we really just have to be figuring it out for each person. I mean, even some people, vegetables are, you know, we're all saying 75% vegetables, and that's what Dr. Walls was saying the other day. But for some people, there's the state of their gut. They can't tolerate that much vegetable. They can't tolerate the fiber. And it's really a matter of helping people to normalize their digestion, help their immune system, and eat the best possible food. Annette says the Weston A. Price is struggling right now. There's a division within the group. I'd love to hear that if you want to comment on that. I don't know what that division would be. And I also don't really know how closely they are aligned with the original intentions of Price. I mean, the thing that we found here was that John Robbins had found some evidence that Price himself was feeding his family, wasn't feeding his family so much in the way of animal products, more of a vegetarian diet with the raw milk. So let me see if anybody else has any questions. No questions, comments? No? Okay. All right, then I'm going to get going. Thank you guys for being here. I'll open up all your lines and we could say goodbye. I'll stop the recording. And There was June. Let's see. Let's put June back up. Okay, June. Yeah. Hi, June.
Yeah, I wasn't. Hi, Dr. Rita. Marie, I was not able to get through till now. The reason I loved, are you hearing I echo?
Yeah, I hear you. Sure.
You can hear me okay? Okay.
Yeah, you're on twice, so you might have had gotten knocked out and came back in. Maybe that's why you're trouble.
Okay. All right. The reason I love Winston A. Price is because they teach you how to have quality foods.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, say, for the milk, there are so many choices. I wasn't able to listen to your whole call. But, like, there's three choices of pasteurization, and we aren't really taught that. And then there's raw milk, and then there's different choices of raw milk. And then there's even certain genes that certain cows have. I was talking to the farmer that I get my milk from, and he's got a Jersey mix, and the Jersey has a better quality milk, easier to digest. And he gets certain genetics from his cattle that come from Sweden or something like that. And they test the cows, and there's a grade A type and a grade B type, which I don't understand completely. One's a little higher quality than the others, and much easier to digest. The cows in America are not the same,
mm-hmm.
typically. And
mm-hmm.
So there is a difference in the breeding, and the same thing with the eggs. I explained that a little bit on Facebook. And, you know, there's fertile eggs, and then there's hens that are grass-fed, and there's ones that are soy-free. And there's a lot of quality in that group are so, they try to make themselves available in our area, and they teach about how to ferment the foods, and we do not do the grain. We use it sort of like there's the paleo group and then the paleo group that focuses more on the vegetables. And that's
mm-hmm.
how we use the Winston A. Price.
Yeah.
And the meats that we use. I know that some people will use the organic pork. I do not use the organic pork because it doesn't work for me. But if I've got a good grass-fed beef or a good, and I love to go to the organic side, I found too, because just grass fed, you got to know your farmer. If you know your farmer,
yeah.
It is going to make a big difference, because not every grass fed is equal. And, because we were getting grass fed from a neighbor who my son worked for, and then we found out he was putting pesticides on the pasture. So that's not cool. You know, so then if that farmer thinks that pesticides on the grass, you know, is okay, well, we don't want that kind of farmer. In some of these organic farms, they have such a rigid standards that they put a lot of these good farmers out of business. So you have to know your farmer and ones that have a heart for getting the people quality food. And they are out there. And that's where Winston A. Price can really be a support in helping people find those farmers that care that way and that have meetings and will come to the meetings, and they care because they've got family too. And I see Winston A. Price being a real pillar in the community. Because there are going to be farmers, and there are going to be people that need that meat, and there are going to, I mean, I don't see paleo out there a whole lot helping people know how to raise their hobby farms and that. Anyway, that's me in my area. Maybe it's different someplace else.
You're in Portland? Is that where you are?
I'm in Wisconsin.
Oh, in Wisconsin.
I'm
right in the heart of it.
Green Bay Packer area.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we've got farmers in the Winston A. Price. I mean, they're raising these heirloom crops. I mean, like, there's a farm that raises gooseberries. I mean, and these rare plants that, I mean, there aren't too many farms that'll have that. But these people, they care. They've got a heart, and it just gives me a passion for my garden. It gives me a passion for my critters, and I see it as very important.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, because that's what I wanted to hear, what other people's experience are. And it really just goes back to picking and choosing amongst what's put out there. Now, personally, my introduction to Weston Price was listening to Sally Fallon speak, and she had nothing of value to say, in my opinion. She was very opinionated. When asked about this, she says, oh, you know, that. She didn't even give any statistics. And she was, very much, oh, vegetables, yeah, they're just a condiment. They're just a condiment that's a good carrier for the fat. And that turned me off. And I said, if she's the spokesperson for this society, and quite frankly, I didn't really look much further, you know, until looking into this thing.
Do you have her Nourishing Traditions cookbook?
No, I don't.
I think if you go through her cookbook, you'd see the passion in there. And, but, you know, she may be eating grains. I don't know, you know. And, my farmer, I can get raw butter from him. And he's got these cows with this genetic testing that gives the milk a higher quality, easier
That's
to
great.
Digest. So,
That's great. That's great
know,
that people are
really
out there trying to change it, you know. And,
right,
and like I
are,
said,
there,
yeah, go ahead.
They're fighting to change this, you know. It's a matter of survival.
Because we need to get away from factory farming.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's really hurting.
I just had
to hear that. Yeah, I'm glad you shared it. Yeah, because I wanted to hear a perspective like that. But again, it's like it goes back to whenever you take a diet that somebody writes says, this is it, you eat this, like macrobiotics. I love a lot of things in macrobiotics. I think eating a 60% grain diet is ridiculously ludicrous. And not good for most people. Might be good for some people. But there's so much of it I like, so I'm not going to throw the whole thing out. I'm going to pull the things I like. I love the fermented foods. I love the pickles. I love the vegetables. Same thing with this. I love the fact that they have everybody sprout everything. I don't love the fact that they're, you know, putting people on gluten who maybe shouldn't be on gluten. I don't like the fact that there's so much processed fat, not the whole fat, not eating the whole animal, but pulling out the fat and adding that to everything else that I don't like. And I don't think that works for a lot of people. So it's just a matter of really like individualizing the best of each thing. I mean, we could probably create a diet that's, you know, some pieces from Weston Price, some pieces from the paleo, some pieces from macrobiotics, some pieces from the Ayurvedic, and really help people to design a perfect, you know, diets, because they don't all look at the balance from all the different ways. So
yeah, and you know, Dr. Rima, you know, the fats there again comes in the quality of the animal, and if you've got a grass-fed turkey or duck or anyway, you are going to have more omega-3s in there, and you are going to have a much higher quality compared to canola oil or something like that. And this is, you know, if that's available to those people to raise their families, that's going to be much healthier.
Healthier than canola oil, but not healthier than no fat. That's not part of a whole. You know, I'm a big fan of whole food fats. They should be packaged the way nature intended it, as opposed to pulled out and, you know, isolated and emphasized, you know, like coconut oil. I use it occasionally, but I don't use much coconut oil because it's a fractured food. I'd rather eat the whole coconut. If I'm going to have flax, I'd rather eat the whole flax. I'd rather eat the whole food than to pull out the fat and use it in other places. Because to me, it just throws balance off out of the way nature intended it.
Mm-hmm.
Except in therapeutic circumstances. There are certain times when therapeutically people need more of a certain fat to restore balance. That's all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, I agree that the quality is there. And that's what I said when I don't know how far along you came into the program, but the pros were, you know, the quality, the high quality, the high standards. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yes. And, you know, it's like, I'm not doing it just like they got on that pyramid. I do what works for me, but what excites me is the quality of the food.
Yep. So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. I think we're good. Let's see. Okay, so what does Annette say? What is struggling? Here's a group that doesn't want to follow Sally. Cool. Annette, you had your hand up. Annette?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you hear?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would ask, I think it was June that was just on, if she's in Scott and Lisa's group up in Wisconsin, but that's beside the point. Yeah, for a number of years, there's been some grumblings about people wanting Sally to step down, feeling that she doesn't really represent the group as a whole well.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to a couple of their conferences, and I went to the one in Alabama last year, which just amazed me, if they were all about real food, why they were in Alabama. Because they were in Huntsville and there was no place to eat the way they eat. But I was talking to a group leader there, and they were telling me that membership is really down because of the infighting that's going on with the group. And you could tell, like, the number of vendors were suffering. But like was just said, if you go on to any of their websites, they're great resources. They're great at helping you find the local farmers and things. So they do serve a good purpose also.
Yeah.
They're struggling.
Yeah. And like I said, for me, my opening exposure to them was her, and I was completely turned off by her.
Yeah.
Completely.
She does. She has a way of doing that.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. And there's good things and there's bad things. So the good things are trying to get this turned over. But the truth of the matter is, if you eat the amount of meat, if every person ate the amount of meat that they recommended and they gave up the factory farms, our earth would be decimated, because we would need the entirety of all the cities for grazing land to give the cattle the amount of grazing land they need to supply somebody with that much quantity of meat. There was a documentary, I forget what it was called, Cowspiracy. And on there, they actually quoted somebody, Michael Pollan, who they said, well, how much, if everybody was eating organically raised pastured animals, how much animal protein, how much animal foods per week could we sustain if everybody was eating it? And he said something in the neighborhood of 3 to 4 ounces a week. Because otherwise, because of the needs to actually raise an animal the way it should be raised with the amount of land it needs, we'd have to be chopping down cities to make that grazing land. And that's why people went to factory farms. So we either have to cut back on the amount of meat and eat the high quality of it, or, you know, most people, except the people who are educated and have the finances to do it, get to eat the good stuff, and everybody else gets to eat the crap that the factory farms are putting out.
Right.
So it's a dilemma. I mean, I guess that's why he wrote that book, The Omnivore's Dilemma.
Yeah, that was a good book.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there's a lot of things that go into our food and our food choices. You know, there's the health of it. There's the moral, ethical. There's the environmental. And that book, that movie was actually very good. It was called Cowspiracy, because this guy was an environmentalist. And somebody had said, well, if you're an environmentalist, why are you eating hamburgers? And he says, what does hamburgers have to do with the environment? And they started to explain about emissions and about this and about that. So he decided to do a documentary and explore what does eating meat have to do with the environment. And by the end, he was like, I think I have to give up meat, or I have to give up being an environmentalist, or at least cut back. So, and that's why I have a hard time with programs that promote, like, you know, 75% of your diet is meat, meat and dairy and all that kind of stuff, because of what it can do to the earth to be able to raise it the proper way. So anyway, that's just my opinion for what it's worth. And I appreciate you sharing that, because that's, she is not a good spokesperson for that at all.
No, she's not.
Because she, you know, she just turns people away.
Yeah, she does.
Well, good. Well, thank you. Thank you both for sharing. I didn't mean to come off as, you know, so I try really hard to be neutral through all of these, and I just had a really hard time with this one staying neutral. So it was good to see the inside, you know, and really emphasize the positive. I, you know, I went through the positives and the pros, but it was really good to hear that. Thank you. All right. I guess we're time to go interactive. Bye, everybody. Have a great time. Have a great
Bye.
Rest of the day.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.